Praise the Lord. We got quite a bit to cover today, but I have some help. So Debbie Inseth is going to read a little bit. Today's message is entitled Prayer's Anointed Power. Prayer's Anointed Power. That's the way I came up with this. I realized that how many of you feel like you could use a little urging in prayer with all this stuff going around? I thought, you know, this is probably a good time to just look at this. And so 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6 says, I urge you, this is Paul saying, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. So there you go. How many of you know everybody needs prayer? Prayed for people get along a lot better than non-prayed for people. Have you found that? And ask God to help them. Help so-and-so. That's a good prayer. Help this person. Like, how many of you had a test and your Holy Spirit, you say, help that person on their test and they pass it. And they really weren't sure about that. Intercede on their behalf. Stand in the gap for them. Give thanks for them. The Lord always wants us to be a spirit of, not to say, Lord bless them, that little rat. No, he wants us to give thanks. And the give thanks part is to maintain your spirit to be good. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. This is where we're going to hit today, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Next slide. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. There's a prayer I put up here. Let's look at this for a second. Because it's, I'll read it to you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, help us to rise up in, and I put that sonship there. We've been talking about that a little bit, to reveal your heart the way Jesus did. Empower us, Holy Spirit, to walk with you, pray from your heart with your power for the needs of our culture, right? We humbly ask that you make us your vessels of honor to impact those around us for your glory and purpose. Can we pray that together? Let's pray it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, help us to rise up in sonship and reveal your heart the way Jesus did. Empower us, Holy Spirit, to walk with you and pray from your heart with your power for the needs of our culture. We humbly ask that you make us vessels of honor to impact those around us for your glory and purpose. Amen. Now, I want to prepare you here for a minute because Debbie's going to read a good bit of Acts chapter 4. But right before she does, here's what happened. Peter had just been empowered by the Holy Spirit. He brought healing to a man who was lame from birth. You know the story, most of you. And such an extraordinary miracle that people gathered around. This guy's been there since he was a baby, you know. And as the man clung to Peter and John, Peter addressed the people who gathered, declaring that who Jesus is. And he declares, and by his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see now, and the faith that is through Jesus has given this man the perfect health in the presence of you all. Then he continues, and he says, he's using the miracle of the man to actually call people into repentance. He says, repent therefore, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And then he continues, he says, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And so what's going on is, Debbie's going to read, continue. This is now starting with verse 1 in the New Living Translation in chapter 4.
While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, so the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. "What should we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. "O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, 'Why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness.
Hallelujah. Here we have the first confrontation with, well, not the first, but Jesus stood before the government. Let me insert here that all through the New Testament, it's always been the rulers and governments that oppose the Lord's people. God has even used the captivity of his people by heathen rulers to raise up a people who would pray to the Lord and declare his will to the people. So we see this in Daniel in the Old Testament, right? We see this in Esther. We see this in Jeremiah. We see this in Nehemiah. There's more. And we know what happens. What happens when those who know the Lord and his ways, this is a good question. What happens when those who know the Lord and his ways are in governing positions? We have an example, get ready, in our own U.S. history. This is a lot shorter. I want to frame this up. She's going to read this. What happened on July the 4th, not 1776, but 1787? Go ahead.
What was the most important day in our nation's history? Many would say July 4th, 1776, and for very good reasons. We celebrate Independence Day, the day our forefathers signed one of the most important documents in history, the Declaration of Independence. Yet there was another July 4th that may be the more miraculous day, July 4th, 1787. The Revolutionary War had been fought and won at great cost. The founding fathers wisely structured a government called the Continental Congress. But by 1787, a permanent government structure for the long haul was needed. They gathered in Philadelphia to put the structure in place, to write a constitution to replace the Articles of Confederation. It was not going well. The delegates could not agree on how states would represent themselves. This appeared to be an insurmountable obstacle that could not be overcome. Anger, tension filled the air. Some delegates walked out. Some threatened military action against other delegates. Frustration and disappointment abounded. Those who had pledged their lives and fortunes in hopes for a new nation were now unsure their dream would ever come to pass, the outcome hanging in the balance. On June 26th, 1787, all seemed lost. Suddenly, Ben Franklin asked to speak to the assembly. By now, he was an elder statesman, known to be the least spiritual of all the founding fathers. This well-respected man walked to the front of the gathering, stopping at the podium. With great conviction and immovable resolve, he spoke to the delegates. I'll paraphrase and put it in modern English. In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were in sensible danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers were heard. They were graciously answered. Have we now forgotten the powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see to this. God governs the affairs of men. The hall was quiet. No one dared speak. Yet, this riveting speech demanded a reaction. Therefore, a motion was immediately put forth and passed for the leaders to begin each day of deliberations with prayer and have a chaplain attend the meetings to lead this daily prayer. Additionally, they passed a motion to break and take 3 days to fast and pray. As the meeting adjourned that day, each man went on his own way to enter into a time of prayer and fasting. They reassembled on July 4th, 1787. When they gathered, everything was different. The anger and animosity was gone. Agreeable conversations took place where ill feelings had once resided. One of the delegates, Jonathan Dayton, wrote in his journal, "Every unfriendly feeling had been expelled, and the spirit of conciliation had been cultivated. Prayer triggers cooperation. Prayer releases divine solutions." That day, they formed a committee that created the representative structure of the House of Representatives and Senate, with representation based on population, the House, and equally assigned to each state, the Senate. They called this plan the Great Compromise. It was the final large piece of the puzzle for the Constitution. A final draft was produced in about 6 weeks, and then the states ratified it.
Lord, thus, prayer's anointed power, the wisdom of Benjamin Franklin standing there and saying, "We used to pray, and all the contention is swallowed up and gone, and divine wisdom flows in." Let me just say, wouldn't it be wonderful? You know what I'm about to say. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was the spirit of our governments today? Are we smart enough now to need the assistance of the Almighty? Have we forgotten our powerful friend? Why would we not want to solicit the supreme in the affairs of this nation? Why would we not want to petition for the power of providence to act? Why would we not entreat the eternal God for wisdom? Why would we not appeal to divine power to solve the issues of today? The sons of the living God are rising up in the states. In Louisiana, just recently, Louisiana is now requiring the Ten Commandments to be displayed in every public school. Oklahoma State Superintendent announces all schools must incorporate the Bible and the Ten Commandments in their curriculum effective immediately. Now here's the big one. Tennessee State Senator Mark Pody and Representative Monty Fritz sent a letter to the pastors of their state last week asking that they join the state leaders in a 30-day season of prayer and intermittent fasting for the month of July, this month, as a means of humbling ourselves to receive God's grace, mercy, and blessing in Tennessee and our nation. House Joint Resolution B-803 passed with an overwhelming 27-1 vote in the Senate, 82-6 vote in the House. It was signed in law by the governor, Governor Lee, on April 16th, 2024. Pody and Friends continued, the document embodies a bipartisan recognition that the issues we're facing cannot be effectively addressed without the intervention and favor of the Lord. This is their letter to them. We respectfully inviting you to join with us in leading the people across Tennessee into a time of humbling ourselves, praying, seeking God's face, and repentance during July. This is going on now. Let's model for those who are not called by His name a better way to bring about positive changes we so desperately need. How will we do this? And they started this last June the 30th to declare it out to the churches. Then the second, examine our lives in the light of God's word and confess our sins. Acknowledge that we, as the church, have failed to stand for the principles of God. Ask for His forgiveness and mercy. Commit to stand firmly on those principles going forward. And for those who are able, join in prayer in intermittent fasting as a means of demonstrating our desire for repentance. So on July 1st, which was the day that that went out, they said, so we plan a journey to all 95 counties in Tennessee, visiting courthouses and places of worship in order to read the resolution and profess the need for repentance, joined in prayer together. We're now convinced that this resolution must be more than a legislative act or piece of paper. So here we go. Here's the proclamation in its entirety. Ready? Let's put it up here. This is what they sent out. A resolution to seek God's hand of mercy healing on Tennessee. Whereas our state and nation suffer from violence committed upon citizens by our citizens. Next slide. And whereas our state and nation suffer from violence committed upon citizens by non-citizens. And whereas acts of violent crime in our schools are unacceptable. Keep going as we're going here. And whereas human trafficking is an unacceptable and violent evil in our state, enslaving lives and violating the core values of our Creator endowed rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And whereas drug addiction overwhelms our families, our government finances, our workforce productivity, as well as our health care and our law enforcement resources. And whereas deadly fentanyl flows uncontrollably across the southern U.S. border, resulting in the deaths of Tennesseans. And whereas driving under the influence, a drunk driving, results in great pain and injury for Tennessee families And whereas we have approximately 9,000 children in need of foster care, indicating a brokenness in many Tennessee homes, and whereas the evidence of corruption in our federal government stands to impact every Tennessean, and whereas our national and state founders trusted in the omnipotent hand of providence to guide and bless our land, and whereas over decades these leaders called people to seek out the Creator's favor by issuing proclamations like the one from John Adams, April 15, 1799. This day be observed throughout the United States of America as a day of solemn humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that the citizens on that day abstain, as far as many may be, from the secular occupation and devote the time to sacred duties of religion in public and private, that they mind our numerous offenses against the Most High God, confess them before Him with the sincerest penitence. Implore His pardoning mercy to the great Mediator and Redeemer for our past transgressions, that through the grace of His Holy Spirit may be disposed and enabled to yield a more suitable obedience to His righteous requisitions in time to come, that He would interpose to arrest this progress of that impiety and licentiousness in principle and practice practice so offensive to Him and so ruined to humankind, that He would make us deeply sensible that righteousness exalted the nation and sin is a reproach to any people. And whereas we hold that our founders correctly acknowledge truth in their words, and whereas we hold that except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Now therefore, be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the 113th General Assembly of the State of Tennessee, the state concerning, that the period of July 1st, 2024 through July 31st, 2024 be recognized as a time of prayer and fasting in Tennessee. Be it further resolved that we recognize that God, the Creator, the King of all glory, has both the authority to judge and bless nations or states. Be it further resolved that we, as public servants in the Tennessee General Assembly, seek God's mercy upon our land and beseech Him to not withdraw His hand of blessing from us. Be it further resolved that we recognize our sins and shortcomings before Him and humbly ask His forgiveness. And be it further resolved that we ask the Lord Jesus to heal our land and remove the violence, the human trafficking, addiction, and corruption. And be it further resolved that we ask that the Holy Spirit fill our halls of government, in our classrooms, our places of business, our churches, our homes with peace, love, and joy. And be it further resolved that we call upon all those who are physically able and spiritually inclined to do so, so to join in a 30-day season of prayer and intermittent fasting as we begin a new fiscal year, as a means of seeking God's blessing and humbling ourselves to receive His grace and mercy, transforming ourselves, our communities, our state, and our nation. Let's just pray in the Spirit for a minute. Would you do that? The Holy Spirit is here bearing witness of both the severity and the beauty of these sons of the living God in Tennessee, who are standing for the Lord's ways in the midst of this corrupt and perverted nation. Let your heart just flood with praise before His throne right now. Let your heart reach up to the Jesus Christ, the King of all kings, the Lord of glory, that His mighty hand would come Everybody in here is touched by some degree of the wickedness. I'm praying that this particular concept of prayer go from state to state to state. I talked to Kim and Mike Duvall, one of our House of Delegates, that gave this. They've already read it. I'm just asking for our. Wouldn't it be wonderful if West Virginia, this was us? Let me catch myself here. We're going to pray. We got some prayers up here. We're going to intercede with them. I want to plant this in you because this is not only powerful. And the reason I frame it up this way is Jesus was a son, the son, that came to serve, to lay down his life. He says, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus has sons. Sonship includes women. My jokey way of saying this is, if I'm going to be in the bride of Christ, you can be in the sonship of Jesus. Sonship is not a gender thing. It's a position thing. And everything Father God does in the planet of any substantial means is through sons rising up. And I have identified, and you see it, sons are rising up that represent the heart of the Father. What is a son about? Doing the Father's business. What is the Father's business? Healing the broken, establishing order or blessing and peace where prosperity comes. The corruption is overwhelming. It's as if Satan himself is running everything because it's so antichrist, it's phenomenal. But you can pray, and things are shifting, and there's going to be more and more and more. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord for that. More and more and more. Hallelujah. More and more and more. So this is the pray with me part. Look at this for a minute. We'll pray it with a conviction. I can read it and then we'll come back. And it says, Father, we join with the great state of Tennessee in humbling ourselves before you. What fools we Americans became by rejecting and dishonoring you, our Creator, Savior, and Lord. You said regarding those who reject you, and then it's has a verse. Next slide. I'll just read through it and we'll come back. Although claiming to be wise, they were in fact shallow fools. For only a fool would trade the unfading splendor of the immortal God to worship the fading image of other humans, idols made to look like people, animals, birds, and even creeping reptiles. And then the next slide. Yet we have done so, and we're now reaping the stealing, killing, and destroying of Satan. Therefore, we join with the Tennesseans today in praying. And we recognize our sins and shortcomings before him and humbly ask forgiveness. Go ahead. Next, there you go. And this, now we're going to walk through these, be it further resolved. Okay, let's go back. Can we pray this together? Can you read and pray it with conviction? Let's stand together and do this. Hallelujah. Those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and all, let's just love on the Lord and pray in the Spirit for a minute here. Holy Spirit, fall fresh in this place. Let there come a stirring, a deep conviction. As we decree and declare these things before you, we ask, Lord, that there would be movement in the heavens, angelic realms dispatched. There would be overthrowing and toppling of principalities and things that would be broken, that have been resisting the name of Jesus and resisting the truth. We ask, Father, these things be overturned. We ask, Father, for your love and blessing to be outpoured in the name of Jesus as we pray. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. Father, we join the great state of Tennessee in humbling ourselves before you. What fools we Americans became by rejecting and dishonoring you, our Creator, Savior, and Lord. You said regarding those who reject you, although claiming to be wise, they were in fact shallow fools. for only a fool would trade the unfading splendor of the immortal God to worship the fading image of other humans, idols made to look like people, animals, birds, and even creeping reptiles. Next slide. Yet we have done so and are now reaping the stealing, killing, and destroying of Satan. Therefore, we join with the Tennesseans today in praying. We recognize our sins and shortcomings before him and humbly ask his forgiveness. Be it further resolved that we ask the Lord Jesus to heal our land and remove the violence, human trafficking, addiction, and corruption. Be it further resolved that we ask the Holy Spirit to fill our halls of government, our classrooms, our places of business, our churches, and our homes with peace, love, and joy. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Our decree, it is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's go. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We establish with covenantal words. We ask for a move of your spirit and the power of your great grace to sweep across this land. Holy Spirit, let your train fill the temple. Let there come a movement of the Holy Spirit's power. We repent, we repent, we repent. Oh, ratishikilabrotasa. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's just stay in the spirit for a minute. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Just lift up intercession over your families. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Break down the walls, Lord, that hinder families from coming into the fullness of your grace. We praise you, Jesus, for everything you are. The fullness, I pray that the massive work of your healing fill hearts, even in here today, in the hearts of those representing the family members. We say, fill them, Lord. Break every bondage, everything hindering the inflow of your goodness in the name of Jesus. Break down every wall in Jesus' name. Every person that has been hurt by drug abuse, in Jesus' name, we lift them all, this whole city, before you. There's been many recent deaths. We ask, Father, for your grace to abound. Where sin abounds, may your grace much more abound. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We pray. Let's just praise the Lord now. Just praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. For those of you who wonder where I got this a lot of this came from on July 4th on Intercessors for America, two articles that were in there. And I just wanted to frame this up for us. How many of you feel the Lord's working in our land? We just say, let there come a holy, you know, copying, you know, the just more and more of this in every state. Hallelujah. Well, listen, we're going to dismiss. Thank you, Debbie, for your reading. If you don't know the Lord, he's given himself to you. It's not that you have to do anything. He's given himself to you. You receive him. You open up to him. You just give yourself to him. It's like a marriage. You just give yourself to the one who gave himself for you. If you haven't done that, we invite you to do that. Life works a whole lot better when the one who made you knows what you're created for. And you begin to discover all of that. It's nothing like it. If you have need of other types of prayer, physical healing, or something you want prayer for, I'm here available, a few of us. Amen. There's just a holy feeling in the room. How many of us so long have looked at all the wickedness and all the foolishness and all the deceptions that are happening, and people out of their minds. It's almost like if you speak the truth in sanity, it's like you're something wrong with you. And it's like, no. And the Lord's doing something. The Lord is stirring up His sons in the land. We can praise the Lord for that. He's leading. Amen. Love on each other. You're dismissed.